Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from John Russell and Jill Robbins. Later, we will present the third part of A Princess of Mars in our series, American Stories. But first, here is John Russell.
Americans are increasingly feeding their dogs and cats fresh foods. Most Americans feed their pets with kibble, a kind of food ground into small pieces. But more American pets are eating fresh food, like chicken, sweet potatoes, and spinach. Sales of fresh pet food in grocery stores and pet stores grew to about $546 million in 2018. That is an increase of about 70% from 2015. That information comes from Nielsen, a company that researches what the public buys and uses. Even with the big increase, fresh food sales still make up a small part of the $25 billion that Americans spend on pet food each year. Supporters of fresh food diets for pets say these foods keep their nutrients better than canned or dried foods. They also say fresh food diets are similar to the pets' ancestral diets and improve their health. In America, pet food trends have followed human ones. When gravy, a sauce made from the juices of cooked meat, was popular in the 1950s, gravy train dog food appeared. In the 1980s, Fancy Feast cat food showed a growing consumer interest in gourmet food. Mintel is a company that advises businesses. It said young buyers are fueling the sales increase. They are more likely to choose pet foods that they consider to be safer and more natural. Amy Zolneridis is the part owner of We Feed Raw, a raw food meal plan service for pets based in the northeastern state of Maine. She said, "Just as people have become skeptical of highly processed foods for themselves, they're looking critically at their pets' foods as well." She added, "They think, how could something with a shelf life of over a year be better than real, fresh food?" But some animal health experts question this way of thinking. They say established pet food companies, like Royal Canin, have researched their food for many years. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration says that raw pet food has a high risk of bacterial contamination. The agency is also investigating a link between grain-free diets that contain peas, lentils, and potatoes and elevated levels of heart disease in dogs. Lindsay Bullen is a pet nutrition specialist with the Veterinary Specialist Hospital of the Carolinas in Durham, North Carolina. She said pets need many kinds of important nutrients. If those levels of needed nutrients are too high or too low, she added, it can cause significant problems for that pet that the client might not see for months or years to come. 7 years ago, Deb Colgan saw that her husband was feeding raw meat to their two dogs. At first, she did not like the idea, but changed her mind after researching it. She and her husband started buying raw meat and bones from the grocery store. She also talked with a veterinarian and added supplements like vitamin E, salmon oil, and probiotics, among others. One of her dogs stopped vomiting regularly and gained weight. The other stopped getting ear and urinary tract infections. Those dogs eventually died, but the Colgans have continued the diet with two new dogs. It's very much a relief they are so healthy, and we do believe it's because how they eat, said Colgan. I can't imagine us ever going back to commercial dog food. I'm John Russell.
Surrounded by mountains and desert, Yasser, a Bedouin woman, explains to a group of foreign travelers how a local plant has been used in medicine. Among the Bedouin, women almost never work outside the home. They rarely meet with outsiders. But the 47-year-old Yasser is now one of four Bedouin women working as tour guides in Egypt's Sinai area. It is against our culture, but women need jobs, Yasser said. People will make fun of us, but I don't care. I'm a strong woman. The women are part of Sinai Trail, a project in which local Bedouin tribes work together to bring visitors to Egypt's Sinai Peninsula. Founded in 2015, the project has set up a 550-kilometer trail through the mountains of the peninsula. Eight different Bedouin tribes provide guides for the trail, which can take up to 42 days for visitors to complete. Members of the tribes often feel that major tourism development in the Sinai has gone to beach resorts and desert safari companies. The Sinai Trail Project has helped the tribes receive some tourism money. Until recently, all the project's guides had been men. Ben Hoffler is the co-founder of the Sinai Trail Project. He said he felt that was not enough. He told the Associated Press, "How can we be credible calling this the Sinai Trail if the women aren't involved?" Over the years, Hoffler suggested using women as guides. But almost all the Bedouin tribes reject this idea. Only the Hamada, one of the smallest, oldest, and poorest tribes, accepted it. Members of the Hamada tribe live in small houses along the Wadi Sahu, deep in the mountains of South Sinai. They have no running water and only have electricity for about 5 hours a night. The men often leave the village to find work. Yasser was the first Hamada woman to become a tour guide. She said she explored the mountains and valleys as a child. She knows the area very well. She asked the families of three other women to permit them to work as guides with her. There are some conditions, however. Women guides can only lead tours for female visitors. The tours cannot go overnight. Each day before the sun sets, the group must return to the Hamada's home village in Wadi Sahu. And visitors can only take pictures of the female guides when they are wearing a full covering over their face. On a recent tour joined by Associated Press reporters, Yasser and three other women guides led 16 female visitors through the area in and around Wadi Sahu. The women they led came from Korea, New Zealand, Lebanon, European countries, and Egypt. During the two-day tour, the group walked across mountains and valleys of dry riverbeds. The guides talked about plants and herbs. They discussed local history and told stories of the surrounding mountains. In the evening, the group returned to the Hamada tribe's village. The women sat on the floor of Yasser's home, and visitors asked their guides about life in the village, marriage, and divorce. Some younger Bedouin girls followed the group and talked about wanting to be female guides in the future. Mohammed Salman is an older man from the Aligat Bedouin tribe. He said the project was a great step for women. If a woman wants to work, she should be able to have the right to, Salman said. Many men say no, a woman's place is at home. But I'm sick of this ideology. She's a human being.
Today on Ask a Teacher, we answer a question from Mehdi in Iran. He writes, please explain about either or and neither nor. Dear Mehdi, the words either or and neither are kinds of conjunctions or words that join parts of a sentence together. English speakers use either or to talk about a choice between two things. On a beautiful spring day, one can say, I will either ride my bicycle or walk to work. In this example, the structure with verbs is either, verb, or verb. You can use either or with nouns. For example, when it is time to eat lunch, I may tell my coworker, I feel like eating either Chinese or Indian food today. The structure is either noun or noun. We understand that the speaker will choose only one of the two things. We use neither nor when the speaker will not choose from the options given. My friend is getting married at a seaside town in New Zealand. She says, neither rain nor snow will ruin the wedding. The structure is the same here. Neither noun nor noun. You can use neither nor with verbs too. One can say, "My brother is very healthy. He neither smokes nor drinks." The structure is neither verb nor verb. But if a sentence already has a negative word, like not, it is more common to use either. For example, Sandy does not play either football or cricket. There are two ways of pronouncing either and neither. People in both the United States and Britain may say either with E at the beginning, as in either, or with I at the beginning, as in either. Choose one pronunciation and stay with it. So you will say the pair of words as either and neither, or say this pair, either and neither. And that's Ask a Teacher. I'm Jill Robbins.
And now we present the third part of A Princess of Mars by Edgar Rice Burroughs in the VOA Learning English series, American Stories.
Another of the large airships exploded high. Members of the crew fell to the ground. The huge ship lost control and began turning again and again. Soon, it was close to the ground. The warriors climbed aboard the ship and began fighting the members of the crew who were still alive. Soon, the fighting stopped. The warriors began taking everything from the ship. At last, they brought a captive from deep within the ship. Two of the warriors had their captive by each arm. I wanted to see what new and strange form of life this creature would be. As they came near, I saw that it was a woman. She looked like a woman from Earth. She was young. Her skin was a light red, almost a copper color. I saw at once that she was extremely beautiful. She had a fine face, with large dark eyes and long black hair. As her guards led her away, she saw me for a moment. She seemed very surprised. Her face looked hopeful. But when I made no attempt to speak to her, her face grew sad, and she looked very small and frightened. As I watched her disappear into a building, I realized that Sola was near me.
John Carter, that woman will be saved for the great games that are held by our people. The games are long and cruel, and end in death for those captured in battle. Her death will be slow and painful. She will die for the enjoyment of all.
Sola's face seemed sad when she said this. I could tell by the way she spoke that she did not like the games and did not want to see the young woman die. She was very different from the rest of her people. Sola, do you not like the games?
No, John Carter. My mother died in the games. That is a secret you must not tell anyone. The wall where Tars Tarkas found you held eggs that produce our young. All the children belong to the tribe. A mother never knows which child is hers when they come out of the egg. My mother hid the egg that carried me. It was not placed within the walled area. She she kept her secret until after I was born. But others discovered her secret, and she was condemned to die in the games. She hid me among other children before she was captured. If this secret were learned, I too would die in the games. Before she left me, my mother told me the name of my father. I alone keep that secret. It would mean death for him as well as me. My people are violent and cruel.
The next day I entered the great room where the green Martians held meetings. The red woman prisoner was there too. Soon, the leader of the green Martians came into the room. His name was Lorquas Tomel. He began speaking to the prisoner.
Who are you? And what is your name?
I am the Princess Deja Thoris, daughter of Mors Kajak, the ruler of Helium. Our airship was on a scientific flight. We were to study the air and atmosphere. Without our work, the air on our planet would grow thin and we would all die. Why would you attack us?
As she talked, a warrior ran to her and hit her in the face, knocking her to the ground. He placed a foot on her small body and began laughing. I reached for the small sword I carried and rushed to attack the huge warrior. He was a strong opponent. But again, because of the low gravity on Mars, my strength was far greater than his. In a few short minutes, the green warrior was dead. I helped the young woman to her feet.
Who are you? Why did you risk your life to help me? You look almost the same as my people, but you wear the weapons of a green warrior. Who or what are you?
My name is John Carter. I am from the planet Earth. How I got here is a long story. I attacked that warrior because where I come from, men do not attack women. I will offer you my protection as long as I can. However, I must tell you that I too am a captive.
Come, John Carter, and bring the red woman with you. Let us leave this room quickly before some warrior attempts to stop us.
The three of us quickly returned to the building where I had spent the last several days. Sola then left to prepare food. Wula sat in the corner and looked at the both of us. The young woman was afraid of poor, ugly Wula. I told her not to fear him. Wula is not only my guard, he is my friend. I have treated him with kindness that he has never known. As each day passes, he trusts me more. I now think he would follow any command I give. Sola has told me that all captives are held until they can die in the great games held by the green Martians. Our only chance to survive is to escape, but we must have Sola's help for our plan to succeed.
Yes. If we stay with the Green Warriors, we will both die. If we are to escape, we will need several of the animals to ride. It will be our only chance.
I have several of the animals. They were given to me when I became a warrior. Sola came back later with food for the two of us. Deja Thoris and I asked for her help. The three of us talked long into the night. At last, Sola gave us her answer.
Your best chance for escape will be in the next 2 days. We will leave this city tomorrow and begin a long trip to the home of our tribe. I will help you escape, but I must come with you. I will be killed if you escape.
Sola, of course you must come with us. You are not cruel or violent, as many of your people are. Help us, and I can promise you a much better life. You will be treated with respect as an honored guest.
The next morning, we rode away from the city on our animals. More than 1,000 animals were carrying the huge tribe of green Martians. Also in the group were one American, one princess of the royal house of Helium, our guard Sola, and poor, ugly Wula. Late that night we left the camp. One animal carried me, another Sola and Princess Deja Thoris. Wula followed close behind. We rode quickly through the Martian night. I looked into the sky and saw Earth across the great distance of space. Since I had met the Princess Deja Thoris, I had not thought once of Earth or home. I knew then that I would never willingly leave her. The next morning I could see that we were being followed by several hundred of the green warriors. Our animals were very tired. I knew we must stop. I told Sola and the princess to take the stronger of the two animals and ride away. I will hold back the green warriors as long as I can. Wula, go with them and guard them with your life.
We can't leave you alone. It would be certain death if you are captured again. You must come with us.
Sola took the princess by the arm and lifted her on top of the animal she had chosen. Quickly, she began riding away. For a moment, Wula looked at me, then turned and ran after them. I took out my rifle from its case. I began firing to slow the green warriors. I was able to slow them for more than an hour, but then I had no more ammunition. Soon, I was surrounded. A green warrior got off his animal and came toward me. He pulled out his long, thin sword. I reached for mine. As we neared each other, I saw it was Tars Tarkas. He stopped and spoke to me very slowly.
You will die here today, John Carter. It is I who must kill you. Know that I will take no pleasure in your death.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.